Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, July 4th, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. A Zimbabwean journalist who spent a few days in prison for publishing an unregistered newspaper and was released sometime this week says he is happy to be out of prison.
The prisons are too crowded. There is no food. And the only food that we get is vegetables and beans.
We have a chat with a Zimbabwean lawyer who is among 30 other Zimbabweans under the Mandela Washington Fellowship for Young African Leaders. And have you ever thought about tattoo artists? One thing for sure, they can design tattoos of your choice in any part of your body.
Usually I'm getting teenagers above 18 and so-called musicians, artists, and fashion designers.
Chiretsi freelance journalist Patrick Chitongo, who was freed Thursday on bail after he was convicted of publishing an unregistered newspaper, The Southern Mirror, says he is happy to be out of Chiretsi Buffalo Ranch prison. Magistrate Tafatso Mhlanga released Chitongo on a $200 bail. Chitongo was charged with contravening some provisions of the Access to Information and Protection of Privacy Act, which compel media organizations and journalists to register before operating in Zimbabwe. Chitongo tells Studio 7 Stronga Kandemiri he is not happy with the way his case was handled by the courts.
I'm very, very pleased, and I'm above almost everything, because the incarceration was even 2 years for me, and especially looking at the situation that as journalists we are trying to make sure that every corner of the country is well received in terms of media and dissemination of information. Now that I'm out, I'm really pleased and happy.
How were the conditions in prison?
They were very tough. The prisons are too crowded. There is no food. And the only food that you get is vegetables and beans. And the sanitation is very bad. There's been no water for the past 10 days that I was in prison. And all the inmates couldn't access clean water. And the general situation, the hygienic situation is very bad.
Were you satisfied with the way your case was handled?
It seems from the look of things and some of the documents and letters which were written by some of our colleagues in the media industry, it only showed that there was someone who was probably directing that the sentence must be like that.
That was freelance journalist Patrick Chitongo speaking with Studio 7 from Chiretsi, Masvingo Province. Mandela Washington Fellowship for Young African Leaders Initiative Fellow Kennedy Masie has almost settled now at Rutgers University in the state of New Jersey since his arrival a week ago. Masie, who is a human rights lawyer in Zimbabwe, is also a lawyer of Itai Zamara, the Occupy Africa Unity Square leader who has been missing since March this year. Masie speaks to reporter Tatenda Kumbo on what he's currently doing.
Learning a lot, and you know, Dr. Quincy, our mentor at Rutgers University, has been teaching us a lot about civil leadership, and it's something that you know, down there in Zimbabwe, you couldn't have had the experience, and I'm learning from the best minds.
And of course, you got right into it, you know, comparing, of course, what is happening here and what happens in Zimbabwe. What has been your take on that from a legal standpoint?
Well, from a legal standpoint, there's a huge gap that exists. And you see, learning some other concepts here and how people practice, how they practice the law, and you know, the mechanisms that are put in place to facilitate other issues is just out of this world. And I think I'll learn a lot of things that I'll then try to implement when I go back home.
Have you had a chance to have a conversation about Itai Zamara, of course, who you are working closely with prior to his disappearance? And what are people saying about that, that you have had a chance to have a conversation with about?
Yes, I've been in conversation with a lot of guys, yeah. And, you know, when you talk about that, people are shocked that you know, such things still exist. that someone can just disappear.
And speaking on your other colleagues, you are with a group of other young African leaders from other countries. How has that experience been, being able to talk to them about what they're doing in their respective countries?
Like my roommates, one is from Nigeria, the other one is from South Africa, and you know, amongst my group, we've got people from Cameroon, Kenya. It's surprising how we link and how we've been exchanging ideas on several issues, not just legal, but you know, social, and how they've managed to form their own NGOs, you know, in order to better the society. It's, the experience is just out of this world, and I tell you that by the end of this program, we would have formed partnerships with, you know, with most of these guys, and I can see a better future for the leaders in Zimbabwe and all over Africa.
That was Kennedy Masie, a Mandela Washington Fellow, speaking with Studio 7 Statena Kumbo from New Jersey, United States. Have you ever thought about tattoo artists? One thing for sure, they can design tattoos in any part of your body. In Zimbabwe, Farai Roderick Matsiwa of the Pala in Harare works on tattoos representing animals, birds, names of people, and anything demanded by clients. He tells Studio 7, tattoos are an art which should be embraced by all Zimbabweans.
Usually I'm getting teenagers above 18 and so-called musicians, artists, and fashion designers. It's usually the trend of people that come to my place.
How much do you charge them, you know, for these tattoos?
It depends with size. When we're talking about size, we're talking about 8 by 5 centimeters. That's a size like a business card. That's $25 if it's just a single color. Then if we're talking about multicolors, we're talking about $30.
I see that you've got so many types of tattoos. You've got the scorpion, you've got the wrist paw, you've got all these kind of animals, lions, buffaloes, butterflies, and then we've got the Jigliff tribal tattoo. What are all these?
Usually people are getting animals, like male clients. They say that it's their totem, or they want to resemble the type of person they are. Like when one gets a lion, he's trying to say, maybe I'm fierce, I am a king, sort of a thing. And when we're putting butterflies on women, usually it's about them expressing their feelings, like, I'm a free spirit, you know, a butterfly just flies, doesn't have a designated direction, that sort of thing. And it just gives color, pretty much like beautifying oneself.
Mm. And then, you know, Mr. Matsiwa, there are some other sensitive parts of the body, like private parts. Do some request you to actually do tattoos on those sensitive areas?
Yeah, sometimes like lower back for ladies. A man is usually on arms, chest, and on the back.
And nowhere near those other sensitive areas, eh?
Not currently. People here in Zimbabwe, they are about tradition and religion. So it's kind of sensitive for them to put those kind of designs on those sensitive parts, actually.
Situations where somebody says, okay, can you do a tattoo on my private parts and something like that? How do you handle such situations?
When I'm doing my work, it's strictly professional. I consider myself as a doctor, as a gyno. When someone wants a tattoo there, I'm strictly focusing on the tattoo, actually, on the design and everything I'm doing. I won't shake or, you know, when I'm actually doing their tattoo.
Where were you trained to do this kind of tattoos?
Personally, naturally, actually, I'm an artist. So the person who trained me was an ex-tattoo artist here in Zim. And I actually did first aid, so I kind of know how to go through a human body, the skin and everything.
Is it possible to actually reverse the tattoos?
Yeah, there are two procedures. You say that you don't want the design no more. Yeah, we can use Tattoo Bigone, a cream that's an exfoliator, or you can use the laser treatment to remove it completely. Then if you want to change the design, you can just redesign the certain part to put some other design on top of it. And it won't show completely. It will be some different design this time.
So can you safely say that you're actually surviving through doing tattoos?
Yeah, I'm actually surviving. I'm a father. I'm married. I have a kid. I have a daughter. And things are going well, but not really well with the economy, as we all know it. On an average, if things are well, I get two clients, that is midweek. Then usually on weekends, two, three clients.
That was Farai Rotik Matsiwa, a tattoo artist speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
Next, an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
Self-government, that is, a people exercising all the necessary functions of power without interference by a higher authority that they can't control themselves, is a core American value. It's also at the heart of the Declaration of Independence, which we celebrate today. Thomas Jefferson, the document's primary author, wrote that self-rule is the separate and equal station that a people are entitled to under the laws of God and nature. It didn't come easily. America's early history is marked by conflict with other countries threatened by Republican government and among Americans themselves over the ultimate form that that government would take. But the Declaration laid the framework for a nation that would endure and grow, inspiring similar independence movements around the world. When war first broke out between Britain and its North American colonists, few imagined, let alone supported, the creation of a new nation. Historians note that even as the fighting raged, the colonists were deeply divided over the future. Roughly a third came to believe a complete break with Britain was needed. A third remained loyal to the British crown, and a third simply wanted to be left alone to raise their families and do their jobs. The 56 men who signed the Declaration on July 4, 1776, cast the first votes for independence. Their fellow citizens ratified the choice, and with it the then radical principle that government should be based on the consent of the governed. While this is the event and cause we celebrate today, it isn't unique to Americans. It is embodied in the constitutions of many nations and observed in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that we all recognize. In essence, then, Independence Day is a celebration of our common humanity.
That was an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
We wish you all Americans a very, very happy Independence Day. Now, as usual, it's time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. We are lucky to have with us on the Women's Forum today, Sizwile Nyamande, one of the 30 young Zimbabweans who are in the United States for the Mandela Washington Fellowship, also known as YALI. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Sizwile.
Thank you very much, Marvelous. I'm glad to be joining you today. I'm Sizwile Nyamande, born and bred in Bulawayo, and then I moved to Victoria Falls in 2006, where I started off my career mainly as an environmentalist and a community development worker. I work for a local NGO called Environment Africa, where I currently lead the team that is in Wange District. My work focuses on environmental management, community development, especially rural livelihoods, youth participation, child protection, and women empowerment.
What are you hoping to gain from this experience as a young woman who's also involved in doing environmental work in Zimbabwe?
My take home from this experience is that, firstly, I should be able to have established relationships and networks that will strengthen my work as a young female leader. I'm also expecting that from the sharing of ideas with fellows from Africa and the people that I'm meeting through the Arizona State University, I'll be able to also consolidate my efforts in my community, where my passion is also to look at issues of education provision, especially the rural girl child.
You were telling us that you're currently based at Arizona State University. Comparing with what you saw in Zimbabwe, what would you say has been your biggest surprise after coming here?
I must admit, firstly, I was a bit touched at the contrast that is there between the university's platform and the universities that I've seen here. I did both my bachelor's and my master's at NASS, and I just had to go back 2 years ago when I was at NASS. And for me, I just looked at, in terms of the services that the university is offering this side, I'm seeing a big difference with universities that I've seen back home. Especially my comparison was largely NASS, because that is where I've been. For me, I've also been challenged and inspired. We have two fellows who are visually impaired. And for me, the fact that the university is able to assist them, they have no constraints in terms of mobility. They have no constraints in terms of participation, just like any one of us. They are able to use the laptops. They are able to use the elevators. They are able to move around and pick that this is who I am, this is what I want to go. So for me, even the level of disability mainstreaming that I've seen at the university has been an eye-opener, really. And it has challenged me to realize that, okay, there are some things that you may look at maybe and think this is a small thing, but to someone it makes a difference, a very huge one for that matter.
How long are you here for? And there will be a big meeting here in Washington where you are expected to meet with President Barack Obama and also other fellows from Zimbabwe converging here in Washington. Tell us a little bit about that experience. How are you preparing for it?
For me personally, this is truly a humbling experience. I never in my wildest dreams ever thought I would share in the same room, the same space with the President of America one day. So for me, it's really been humbling. It's exciting. I'm really looking forward to it. I must mention that already we are on a path to prepare for those sessions. We are preparing ourselves in terms of the discussions that we will engage in terms of the talks that we will engage in. And that kind of preparation also has made me realize as a person, as a leader, you know, there is power in what you say. There is power in your conduct. If I am to quote from former South African President Nelson Mandela, that leadership is not positional. It is actually behavioral. I'm also excited because I'm meeting him on my birthday, and which also happens to be his birthday. So for me, that is also exciting. I'm saying, this is my birthday present. I get to meet one of the world's icons.
Wow. Well, that's really inspiring to hear, Siswile. Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Siswile Nyamande, one of the 30 young Zimbabweans who are in the United States for the Mandela Washington Fellowship, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
Okay, thank you so much once again, Marvelous. And I hope my being here on this program will inspire someone out there to see that an ordinary person in my community, really. And for me being on this platform, I think someone out there will get the message that, look, some things can be achieved. If you dream big and you go after your dream, you can achieve it.
I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. We hope we are going to have a wonderful weekend.
The quest to showcase Zimbabwean culture through song and dance continues for Black Umfolozi, and one of the founding members of the group, Tome Kidube, told Studio 7 that their tour of Canada got underway on the 2nd of July in Fort Hill.
We're going to be in the country for a month, doing venues right across Canada, starting off in Ontario. And we're going to be around Ontario for like about 2 weeks. In between, we'll exit and go to Quebec City and go to Montreal, do two more venues in Midlands, and then another one called Elora Festival, after which then we do the one Ingersoll in Ontario as well. Soon after that, then we go to Alberta, a place called Edmonton. We go to BC, do Bella Coola International Festival.
The album Umhlaba is a brand new production and was released last week under the Austria-based 10th District Music Stable. It was produced by Dumisani Ramadu and features traditional Ndebele songs like the one titled Gweluchena, their own compositions, and religious songs like the one titled Dwalalami, which means my rock. Dube appealed to Zimbabweans resident in Canada to turn up in their numbers and attend their shows, as the group was not only targeting Canadian audiences but also wanted Zimbabweans domiciled in that country to stay connected to their music and culture.
Zimbabweans in the diaspora, check out the dates for Black Umfolozi, check out the venues, and would love to see you there. Come and support Black Umfolozi during this tour of Canada.
We close the program with a track from the Umhlaba album titled Bayasi Jabulela, in which the group sings about how much they are appreciated by audiences wherever they perform. Representing Studio 7 in Johannesburg, South Africa, I am Joseph Njanji.
And now to recap today's top stories. A Zimbabwean journalist who spent a few days in a prison for publishing an unregistered newspaper and was released sometime this week says he is happy to be out of prison. And tattoos have become the in thing in Zimbabwe. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Develop with Chris Gande. This is Kip Stewart in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.